Groot plucked a pawful of arrows from the sand. Tossing them behind the smouldering cart, he took his bow from buckler. Together they notched up their shafts, nodding to each other.
Watch the cart, it's roasting hot. Right, fire!
Swiftly they stood and released the taut bowstrings, throwing themselves flat immediately. A hail of arrows hit the cart and the surrounding sand in reply. Groot scratched a mark in the sand next to a line of others.
Got one! Big weasel type wearing a red jerkin.
Buckler shook his head in disappointment.
I've been after that vermint all night myself.
They notched up another two arrows.
At least the little ones will be safe with Guillaume and Purslane.
Groot sniffed.
Maybe they'll take off south and find some place where they can live in peace. Pity, I would have liked to see my little Fuffle grow up and take care of his mother when she was an old un.
Buckler wrinkled his homely face into a smile.
Oh, he'd be a right little rogue, that babe of thine. Don't you give up hope, Groot. We ain't finished yet. Burn, no.
Badrang sat in the courtyard, shaded by the wall. It was the only place where missiles could not fall. He took a leisurely breakfast of smoked herrings and dandelion water. Boggs came down from the wall top and saluted with his bow.
That cart's still there, Lord, though it can't be much more than splinters and ash by now. A good breeze would blow it over.
The tyrant delicately plucked a fish scale from his upper lip.
Keep those archers firing until I tell you to stop. Have we lost many through the night?
12, maybe 13, sire. There was quite a few wounded trying to put the fire out on the gates.
Badrang nodded thoughtfully and beckoned to a passing ferret.
You there, Stumptooth, get the rest of the horde on their paws. Issue the long pikes and spears. Have them stand by.
Are you going to start the charge, Lord?
Badrang poured a beaker of dandelion water and passed it to Boggs.
Not yet. Drink that. It's cool, isn't it? Also, we've got plenty of food, solid walls around us and plenty of shade. Those wretches out there have only sun, sand, a few drops of water and hardly any food by now. They've not been able to sleep all night, while we've had archers relieving each other to take a rest. I think I'll leave it a bit yet. Keep them in suspense. Make them suffer. Who knows, we might yet save a good number of slaves. Go and ask them to surrender again.
Trammonclog was digging graves in the soft ground near the corner of the wall. He leaned on his spade and eyed Badrang.
You never could go for the clean kill, could you, matey? Oh, no. You likes pulling the wings off butterflies and watching them crawl round helpless, as I recall. Though maybe you're worried that if you did charge now, they'd put up a good fight.
Badrang held the dandelion water out to Clog. As the corsair reached for it, he upended the jug, pouring it out on the ground.
You're right, of course, Clog. That's why I like to keep you as a slave. It reminds me that once you tried to be my equal, or even my better, and now you have to take orders from the lowliest of my creatures. You are lower than a worm, Tremon Clog.
The corsair dabbed his paw in the wet sand and sucked it.
Ha ha! I never was iron mighty like you, Badrang. I'll just go back to burying your dead and wait for you to turn up as a customer.
With his head wound in a bandage, Nipwart shrilled the message across to the creatures barricaded behind the sandbanks on either side of the burned-out cart.
My Lord Badrang is still merciful. He gives you a second chance to surrender and keep your lives. What is your answer?
Tell old bad thingy it is beneath our dignity to surrender to scum!
Balor's voice came back insolently clear, this time accompanied by many others.
Stinky, slimy scum! Gutless, wet-nosed, crop-tailed scum!
Yeah, good fat-bottomed vermint scummer!
Nipwart's high-pitched squeak cut across the insults.
Is that the answer I must take to my Lord Bedrang?
A good-sized, well-placed sling stone from Roanoke knocked the rat backwards from the wall-top to the courtyard.
Tell him he can chew on that for free!
Badrang had heard the exchange. He rolled the stunned form of Nipwart over with a kick.
Boggs, redouble the archers on the wall-top and continue without halting. I'll make those fools think it's raining arrows.
Balor helped to shore up the banks, and Roanoke piled sand against the flimsy burnt cart. Brougham kept his head down as he bandaged Keeler's injured tail under a pelting hail of arrows. The young otter gritted his teeth, forcing a tight smile as he gasped through a wave of pain.
Do you think it's something we've said that's offended him?
Brougham ducked an arrow and continued with Keeler's dressing.
Brave words. Sling stones and arrows is all we've got left. That's the last of my herbs and bandages.
At midday, the arrows ceased. There followed a lull. Balor went around, doling out the last of the food and water. Groot nodded to the trenched ranks on the south side.
Any chance we could charge them and break through? We could make it to the cliffs if we could.
Roanoke patted his head lightly.
No chance at all. See, they're all still standing ready on the wall top. We'd be cut down before we got halfway.
Groot shrugged.
Just a thought.
Balor took Roanoke to one side, out of the hearing of the others.
This silence. I don't like it one bit.
Roanoke watched the still fortress and nodded.
They're definitely planning something. A charge, do you think?
Balor picked up a javelin.
Right. That's exactly my thoughts, old thing. Issue the javelins.
Each creature took a javelin in silence, knowing what it meant. Balor dusted himself down and stood to attention.
Listen up now, chaps. I'm not given to making jolly great speeches and all that.
Oh, you dreadful old scene-stealer.
Celandine tittered.
You've never made a short one in your life.
The hare glared at her as Roanoke took over from him.
All that can be said has been said. I'm sure you know what I mean, but let me add this. For myself, it has been a pleasure to know you all and to serve with you in this great battle. May the seasons remember us kindly and what we tried to do here.
There was an embarrassed silence. Then Brougham held out his paw.
Give me a javelin too. I will try to be a warrior, like Feldo.
A wild yell arose in the fortress as Marshank's gates swung open and the horde poured forth fully armed, racing across the sands toward the beleaguered little group standing behind the ruined cart.
Chapter 40
Martin drew his sword and leaped into the shallows. Splashing ashore, he watched the other boats empty out as he called to Starwort.
Which way to Marshank?
The draft from Baldred's wings nearly knocked Martin over as the owl landed at his side.
Over that hill, follow me.
Rose saw Martin stop at the hilltop. She ran to catch up with him, Grom and Palom following close behind her.
Martin, wait for us.
When they reached him, the young mouse stood staring open-mouthed at the scene below. Baldred ambled up, smiling.
Now you have a horde too.
Queen Ambala stood at the head of a mighty army of pygmy shrews, and behind them, the warden of Marshwood Hill could be seen stalking among the crowds of Gore tribe squirrels as they waved their axes eagerly, wanting to play a new game. Otters, hedgehogs, mice, squirrels, moles, and vast numbers of shrews stood surrounding the hill. From his vantage point on the hilltop, Martin looked to his left. There in the distance, he could see the north side wall of Marshank. Rose stared at Martin. It was as if she were looking at a strange creature. He was still as a rock, the blood rising behind his eyes, as his paw whitened with the furious grip he had on his sword handle. The blade rose above his head and fell in a straight line, pointing at Badrang's hated fortress. The horde went silent, staring up at the warrior mouse, waiting on the word which rolled from his lips like steel striking stone. They went in a rush like a giant tidal wave covering the land, but none was more fleet of paw than the Mouse Martin. He was out in front, teeth bared, sword still pointing, as he tore through dune and foothill. Rose was swept along in the midst of the howling horde with Palom and Grum. Now and then, through the forest of spears, lances and swords, she could see him, a lone figure ahead of the rest. Her heart went out to him as she remembered her first sight of him, bound between two posts, left to die on Marshank's walls, and recalled the words he had shouted into the stormy night. Now she heard those words as in a dream.
I am a warrior, Martin, son of Luke. I will live. I will not give in and die up here. Do you hear me, Badrang? I will live to take back my father's sword and slay you one day. Badrang!
Javelins stuck in the sand at their sides, the archers knelt and drew back their bowstrings full stretch. Balor strode the line, holding up his paw. Bowstrings trembled with the tension as the screaming horde dashed across the shore in a mass, bound straight at them.
Wait for it, chaps. Steady on. Wait till you see the scum on their snouts. Now!
The hail of arrows struck, horde beasts fell and were trampled under paw by those behind, but the horde kept coming.
Load and throw!
Roanoke cried to her line of slingers as the archers dropped back. The stones hit true, but not well enough to halt the relentless charge. Spears from the horde ranks cut down several of the Fair and Freedom fighters. They backed up, retreating towards the sea as the horde pressed forward. Badrang stood on the wall top, unable to contain a thin smile of triumph as he watched the little army being battered remorselessly back to the eastern sea. He turned to Boggs.
Wait and see. We'll get a few slaves out of this yet. Those that aren't drowned.
Boggs looked up at the sky.
Strange. I thought I could hear thunder.
Badrang also looked up.
Fool! How could you hear thunder when there's not a cloud in the sky?
Boggs cupped paws around both his ears.
I'm sure it's thunder, sire. Coming from over there?
Speechless with terror, he pointed at the thundering horde breasting a low hill to the north, heading directly for them. Even though he was practically numb with shock, Badrang found himself automatically giving out orders.
Call the horde back, nipwart! Boggs, get the archers onto the north wall! I'll hold the gates open until they're back in!
Yarrow tripped and fell in the shallows. The front runners were in the water, grappling with Fair and Freedom fighters, when Crosstooth began shouting,
Retreat! Retreat! Back to Marshank on the double! There's a horde headed to attack the fort! Hurry!
Balor sat down hard in the shallows and blew water from his nose.
Hold up! Where are they, Ballywell, going? Great seasons! Relief's arrived! Hurrah! It's a horde, a flood, a mob, a blooming tidal wave of war beasts attacking the fort!
Balor's fighters let out a loud cheer of delight, leaping about in the shallows like mad creatures. The horde was streaming back to the fortress, leaving a bare dozen fighting in the sea. Swift javelin thrusts and throws found their way around pikes and spears, laying the horde beasts low. Brome found himself standing, javelin poised, over a sea rat who lay wounded in the surf. He was trying to force himself to stab and slay the foe beast when the rat whined out pleadingly.
It's me, matey! Wulp! Don't kill me!
Brome gasped. It was Wulp, the sea rat whose injured paw he had treated when, disguised as a corsair, he had gained entry to Marshank. Brome thrust the javelin into the sea close to Wulp's neck. Leaning down, he muttered to the terrified rat.
Lie still. When we've gone, take off south down the beach. I never want to see you again. Good luck.
Turning, Brome picked up a spear and followed the triumphantly shouting fighters who were running towards Marshank.